Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. That's kind of comical, Scott. I hope Mark D'Antonio figures a way to get back in, being locked out to come do this interview. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John.
Well, hello there, Jack. I'd like to see you and Scott doing a little chuckling there. That sounds good.
Well, that is not necessarily an omen for the season, the fact that Mark D'Antonio locked out already, and we're 2.5 weeks away. But I wanted to talk to you about a couple of news items before we catch up on these quotes that have become popular this summer. One of them has to do with Lansing Eastern High School, Waverly Middle School, on the state list of worst schools.
I read that. Yeah, I saw that.
And now, regardless of what is done, the removal from that list, and I understand that that is not that far away, is not going to get nearly the attention. It's not going to get make nearly the impression. And Lansing Eastern, Waverly Middle School are going to be labeled for a lot of people as terrible schools.
Well, that is true, Jack. And unfortunately, people, for whatever the reason, tend to notice the initial negative, and when the positive comes, people tend not to respond to it. I think it was DeLay from Texas. I think they just found he was not guilty of something after 6 years, but people remember Tom DeLay is doing something. You know, Leo, just came to my mind as we're talking here. This is, if you remember, Caspar Weinberger many years ago said, but where do I go to get my reputation back?
Right.
And these are people, I understand, they're even politicians. But I think schools like Eastern and Waverly, middle in this case, yeah, they're going to have to deal with that. And they might be a step off. That might have been one of those years where something can happen. I really don't know. But clearly, probably the emphasis is what are they going to do, of course. But you are right, Jack. I mean, everybody is going to notice that. I've had various people here today, just as I've been walking my road of life here, mention what they read that. So that definitely has made a splash in the community, unfortunately.
All right, John. From a psychological point of view, explain suicide bombers to me. Is this the kamikaze pilots 60 years later?
Well, suicide bombing, I use the word homicidal bombing. I've always thought it's a bad choice of words. If a person chooses to kill themselves for whatever the purpose, that's bad enough. But when you feel you have a cause big enough to be killing innocent people or even people you don't consider innocent, probably they're not considering the people they're doing it not innocent, then that really shows a horrible pathology. It shows a mindset and a belief that you're killing other people because of what you believe, whether they're directly involved in what you're believing in or not, that somehow there's some higher purpose for what you're doing. And I just think that is outrageous and pathological. Often the people, as we look at that would do something like this, they have been brainwashed and they completely believe something which is, to me, just horrible, unconscionable, and it fits into little different than the psychopath, because these are people that often are brainwashed and believe what they're doing is a good, and that is really a real misinterpretation mm-hmm. of any sense of right or wrong, in my interpretation. That very, very disturbing when I see these homicidal bombers killing people, often in the name of God or whatever their reason might be, political reason, whatever it might be.
This attack on a Baghdad army headquarters killed roughly 60 people, still waiting for an exact number, mostly recruits waiting to enlist, and the U.S., of course, planning to end combat operations in Iraq at the end of August, so this has some ramifications there. John, you're a very spiritual fellow and a devout Roman Catholic. You're never hesitant to comment upon. And when you think about religion and murder in the name of religion, isn't that an oxymoron?
Well, I think so. I do want to qualify the other. I try to be a good Roman Catholic. I think in life, Jack, the main thing is if we try, because you always run the risk of being called a hypocrite. If someone says, well, he did this or thought this, and I recognize that. I think in life we want to try to be, if we could be like Christ, boy, like Mahatma Gandhi said, everybody could be like Christ, the whole world would be Christian. I think that's true. But I do see it as an oxymoron in a way when you can come to the conclusion that, well, just take specifically killing someone, that this is spiritually something God would determine is appropriate. I just find it such an inconsistency. To me, if you're going to believe in a supreme being and it's someone that you're going to have faith and belief in, it certainly can't be someone who's going telling you to kill someone. There's a difference in trying to convert someone to, for some purpose, to believe the way you do. But to believe that you have the right to kill them in the name of God, it's actually terrifying. And if you look historically, this is one of the, what I'd call, really misstatements, misuse. If you could even look, Christ, he only mentioned two commandments, which were love thy neighbor as thyself, you know, this type thing, and to love God with your heart and soul. Now, all of a sudden, look how complicated just Christianity's become. And look at, you can take what's going on in the Muslim religion. These, basically, I believe most religions have a belief in God and to do better and help people. But when people pervert this and use it to kill and destroy others in the name of God, it is really horrible, Jack.
John, I want to talk about a couple of these quotes, because it seems as if every religion, every cause, believe they know the truth and the way, and we're talking about truth having no special time of its own. Its hour is now.
Well, I believe, Jack, that if people really try to do the right thing, I can recognize you can have a debate on how you're going to do health care. You can have a debate on what is good education, okay? We can debate on what ought to be in the school health program, or what ought to go on the basketball court. But there are certain things: treating people fairly, giving people an opportunity, not being horribly judgmental on others. Okay, these are some basic things that I think relate to basic truth. And to me, they're not even all that complicated. It's just basically being courteous, friendly, and nice. Do unto others, if we will go back to what I mentioned before. If everybody did that, have you ever thought of the better world we'd have? And that is a form of truth. People are always debating what is true, and often they're talking about opinions. So I think there are a lot of things that are true, but killing people, maligning people, treating people unfriendly or unfairly, those are clearly things that are wrong, and we become way too complicated in our society, Jack. You know, things I think are pretty basic. I think that I go back to the home I grew up in, was not a highly educated home, but there was a pretty simple right-wrong. There wasn't a lot of confusion.
A lot of people think now, John, that there is no definitive truth, that everything is situational. There are so many shades of gray, but we look at the quote, truth exists, only falsehood has to be invented.
Well, Jack, yes, I believe that the old arguments when I was growing up, I remember you see, could God make a valley without mountains? Okay, I mean, could you? How many angels can dance on the tip of a pin? Now, we kind of chuckle about when we look at those things, but I actually will not be surprised that that doesn't come up in a court, that type of thing. And even Cicero, the ancient Roman, said there's nothing so foolish as some philosopher hadn't said it. So I think basic common sense, common courtesy, doing the right thing. You don't need 9 Supreme Court justices from either Yale or Harvard. In fact, that's the only place they're from. That's talking about an elite kind of determining how people are going to behave. I think common sense, common courtesy is generally a better way. You can always come out and show, well, look, these people are this way, these people are bigger, these people do this. Well, I would trust 100 random people, believe it or not, over 100 people in the university judiciary or in the media, and I'm not mad at anybody offhand.
Well, if you're talking about the media, I know you're right. John, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it, as always, and We look forward to talking with you on Saturday morning, and we're going to be 2 weeks away from the first football game of 2010.
Always positive, and I still love Nebraska and the Big Ten. It's good for Michigan State, except for the Crow's Bowl. How does that sound, Jack?
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, John. All right, that is Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Judah Guber of Altrinsic.com, and we'll have that discussion in just a moment. Coming up next on Ebling and You.